Good morning. I'm Queenie Kim, and this is the California Report. The LAPD shooting of an unarmed homeless man on Skid Row earlier this month raised questions about whether the police should take a specialized approach when dealing with the mentally ill. Today, the U.S. Supreme Court is taking up that issue. The question, whether police should comply with the Americans with Disabilities Act when trying to arrest a violent, mentally ill person. The case centers around a 2008 incident in which officers from the San Francisco Police Department shot a woman with schizophrenia. The Northern California cities of San Jose, Oakland, and San Francisco have all raised the minimum wage in recent years. Now, Los Angeles is considering a hike in the minimum wage, too. The public hearings start tomorrow. The California Report's L.A. Bureau Chief Stephen Cuevas has the details.
Jan Sobel thinks raising L.A.'s minimum wage year by year from $9 to eventually more than $15 an hour is a bad idea. She's director of the nonprofit Boys and Girls Club of the West Valley. Sobel says there's no way she can afford to pay her several dozen workers that much.
We will probably lay off people and therefore turn away children whose parents need us.
But supporters of the plan, like Dan Flaming, say those parents, many of whom live below the poverty line, would benefit the most.
The consequences of sub-minimum wages, I mean, people can't afford housing. They're in chronic debt.
Flaming is with the Economic Roundtable. It just completed a study of the proposed wage hike. Flaming says, yeah, it could hurt some businesses and nonprofits, but those places might also get more customers with more money to spend. Even a few critics say some kind of L.A. wage hike is overdue, but this one is too much too soon, says Stuart Waldman. He's president of the Valley Industry and Commerce Association.
We prefer something that is smaller, incremental, that allows businesses time to adjust.
A minimum wage hike in L.A. could go into effect after a city council vote, which is expected to happen by summer. For the California Report, I'm Stephen Cuevas in Los Angeles.
Tanks, grenade launchers, and military Humvees. Does a community with fewer than 100,000 people need that kind of military-grade equipment? That's a question being debated in cities across the state as protests in Ferguson cast a spotlight on the increasing militarization of our local police. Andrew Stelzer reports that some law enforcement agencies are reconsidering that militarization as they look to improve their image and relations with the community.
In the parking lot of the San Leandro Senior Center, a black armored vehicle is surrounded by TV cameras and curious locals.
I mean, it's pretty much just an ambulance with a hard shell on the outside.
Police Sergeant Nick Corti says it's officially called a Bearcat Medivac.
It's two ambulance bays back there, or one ambulance bay, but two gurneys. Down in that corner, there's medical equipment, oxygen tanks.
In the crowd are several dozen protesters with signs that read, San Leandro is Ferguson and no military police.
Send the tanks back! Send the tanks back!
The crowd moved inside for a special city council meeting about whether to spend $200,000 to acquire the vehicle. Kimberly Peterson of the nearby Fremont Police Department said the Bearcat could be used throughout the East Bay region in emergency situations.
You need something like this, and you need access to it right now. You need access to it, you know, immediately. You can't stand there and let people bleed to death.
Military-grade equipment usually comes to local police from two main sources: for free from the Pentagon after being used in Iraq or Afghanistan, or, as in this case, purchased with assistance from Homeland Security grants. The trend began during the 1990s and escalated after 9/11, but today, especially after the events in Ferguson, Missouri, more questions are being asked if this is really the right direction for a local police department. Coco Jones is a San Leandro high school student.
Seeing that vehicle outside, it didn't make me feel safe. It made me feel like, why do I feel like I'm being put in a war zone?
San Leandro Police Lieutenant Randy Brandt said the department is listening.
We're very concerned about the militarization and a lot of the comments that come up. You know, last thing we want to do is draw a divide between us and the community.
In the end, San Leandro decided to use a Homeland Security grant and made the purchase. But other California law enforcement agencies are changing course. The Los Angeles Unified School District decided to return three grenade launchers to the Department of Defense. The cities of San Jose and Davis each returned a mine-resistant armored vehicle, known as an MRAP.
Is this really what it takes to create a secure community?
Davis City Councilman Rob Davis.
Do you bring that symbol into a small town, into a community, and just say it has no other symbolic value? It's just a tool?
Davis's experience is part of the backlash to what's being called the militarization of local police. It's seen by some as the opposite of community policing. They say it distances local police from the citizens they serve.
I think there are things that are available to us for creating security that they're available, but it's not wise to use them.
A push to reform the Pentagon's free weapons program is stalled by Republicans in Washington. But in California, Assemblymember Nora Campos is pushing legislation that would force local governing agencies to follow a public process when they decide to acquire surplus military equipment.
The people that live in that community have the right to know what you're bringing into their neighborhoods and what it's going to look like.
But transparency is only part of the issue. Even if individual towns decide to buck the trend, it won't be easy to change law enforcement as a whole. When the Davis police decided to get rid of their armored vehicle, the feds quickly found another taker, and the NRAP ended up in the town of Woodland, only 10 miles away. For the California Report, I'm Andrew Stelzer.
And that's a California Report for Monday, March 23rd, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Queena Kim. This is the California Report.
Support for the California Report comes from Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose family foundation advances the wiser use of energy and natural resources on a planet where everything is connected. On the web at theschmidt.org. Stanford Children's Health. Stanford Medicine pediatric specialists are at 80 locations throughout the Bay Area. More at stanfordchildrens.org. And the James Irvine Foundation, with nomination information about the 2016 James Irvine Foundation Leadership Awards, available at irvine.org.